This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. For a lot of us over the past 2 months, digital modes of communication have become the new normal. And that's also true for folks like artists, who tend to count on in-person interaction as an important piece of their work. The Institute for the Humanities at the University of Michigan has developed a YouTube series of studio visits with regional artists to create some of the connection that so many of us have been missing. The artists get an honorarium for their time, and viewers get a close-up experience with some of Michigan's most creative minds. With us now is Amanda Krugliak. She's the arts curator at the Institute and co-host of the video series, which is called House Calls. Amanda Krugliak, welcome to Stateside.
Hi, thanks so much.
You know, it's funny. I think a lot of people assume that artists totally thrive on all this time to be alone and making. And I mean, I'm sure that's true for some people, but would you say that there are plenty of artists out there who find this as challenging as people in any other line of work?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that all of the artists that we've spoken to thus far really initially wanted to frame it that this was maybe like a residency or a time they had imagined to work. And in the course of the conversation, it became very clear that this is really hard, and it's hard to try to juggle work and kids homeschooling, and just spiritually, it's a challenging time for everybody.
The concept of studio visits is really important to art and artists and curators, but that term of art isn't maybe that well known for people who maybe don't work in contemporary art. Could you explain what a studio visit is and what its sort of what its function is under normal circumstances?
Yeah, normally I think of a studio visit as this opportunity to have a conversation about an artist's work. Typically, the studio would be set in a certain way, or maybe we would have these esoteric conversations about art and what they're doing and the shows coming up or a particular project. So under normal circumstances, it's a way to engage with that artist, but doesn't always take you to a more personal place. So the twist on house calls is it's really playing against that idea of what a normal studio visit would be like, and we're seeking out something that's more personal.
The conversations in house calls have definitely run the gamut. You get to learn everything from what kind of space each artist works in to what their thoughts are on what's happening right now and the kind of work that they are making, but also why their favorite animal is the saber-toothed tiger or just literally every little thing that seems to inform what people are working on right now. Can you explain a little bit about how you got this rolling?
Yeah, absolutely. We had received support from the Andrew Mellon Foundation to do a regional art exhibition. And then when we were suddenly in this place of isolation and feeling adrift, it seemed imperative, really, that we find a way to be responsive and reach out, even though we didn't have a physical gallery space. So we pivoted this project of the exhibition in the gallery, and we decided to come up with a series virtually that would be called House Calls. And the whole missive would really just be to come in as a team, because now working as a team really felt important to us, too.
So, Amanda, as part of House Calls, you conduct an online interview of the artists and post it online. But it's not just you alone. You're joined by two co-hosts, or co-curators, I guess, Angela Abiodun and Juliet Heinle. Why did working as a team feel so important right now?
I think it had to do with us also feeling very isolated. This really brought home how much we engage with one another, even if it's just a small conversation in the coffee room or meeting other people on the Diag, you know, that there's so much that you get from other people. So we, one, just felt like we missed each other, but also it was a way for us then to connect in the same way that we were connecting to other artists. It felt, too, that everybody could bring a new voice to the project. We were inspired as well by this whole way of coming together in chat rooms, right, on a Zoom site, that if we could take that and do something innovative, sort of experimental even, with that format, where everybody would have this voice, that could be a really interesting platform.
Have the artists said anything that surprised you so far?
My goodness, I guess it surprises me that people are doing anything at all, like from my perspective, that it's really, you know, amazing for those who have been able to continue to produce. I think that artists very clearly state that for them, beyond their own creative work, they value family and the security and safety of their families. So that came through very clearly for all of the artists. So not so much a surprise, but certainly something consistent. Gardening felt like something everybody turns to feel more settled, to find hopefulness. And that was something, I suppose, that surprised me, that at least two of the conversations landed on gardening.
The name of the series, House Calls, evokes an image of doctors, back in the day, going into patients' homes to provide care and creating a layer of intimacy that a lot of us don't necessarily have with our primary care docs right now. You're meeting digitally with artists in their personal spaces. Would you say that that adds a layer of intimacy to the conversation?
I think it was absolutely what we hoped for, and certainly what I've discovered, that there's a way that this allows us to come together. The first episode, if you look back on it, it was just critical that we saw Sarah Rose Sharp's face. We checked in, like, are you there? Are you there? Even though initially it may seem that we're at a distance through virtual programming, that we can also pare something down to the necessity, to the bare bones, that we're more transparent, we're more honest, we might engage in ways that otherwise we might not in a more social public setting.
Do you find that there are things you learn in this format that you might not learn at a gallery talk?
Well, certainly working with a team has been a surprise, how gratifying that was. It's made me realize I think I've been kind of lonely out there as a curator, thinking about my primary relationship with an artist, that I've loved coming together as a team, exploring perspectives or points of view, or meeting artists that I might not have met before. And yeah, I think that we have our guard down in a way, and maybe it's partly because of this shared vulnerability, but also just this frank conversation sets you up to take down whatever the pretense might be that normally might be in place, particularly around the arts.
You know, everybody has some economic anxiety right now, I think it's safe to say. It feels like artists are just right down in the middle of that. How would you say the artists you've talked to, how are they doing?
I think they're all struggling with the precarity of being an artist, of not having systems in place, perhaps, that might exist for other professions, and then to layer that with additional financial uncertainty, you know, it intensifies their feeling of precarity. So I think all of them across the boards are concerned about that and dealing with that. You know, I do know that they have shows that have been postponed or sources of income that have dried up and things they had been planning on. And so already to be precarious, where you're just looking for that next gig or that next show or to sell a piece of art, all of those things have now shifted around and there's nothing to grasp onto.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Amanda Krugliak. She's the arts curator at the Institute for Humanities at the University of Michigan. She's also the co-host of the video series House Calls, which meets artists in their homes and studios during the pandemic. You're getting a chance also, though, to see the creative process, and not everyone is completely paralyzed. There was a moment in the House Call with Judy Bowman of Romulus where she shared a piece that she collaborated on with her 90-year-old mother, who she's been in quarantine with.
Yeah.
And she tells the story behind their portrait of family that they made. Can you tell us about that piece?
So I should tell you, too, that Judy is an artist that I hadn't known before, but I had heard of her, or we had crossed paths. And then it was actually through Facebook and me watching her with her mother in these posts that made me reach out to her because I was so moved by these daily posts that she would share with everybody. The piece that you're talking about is a piece that she actually made with her mom, and the two of them would collaborate. So her 90-year-old mother will cut out these pieces to become part of the composition, and they both have signed it at the bottom. So just to imagine that this had given them an opportunity to come together, for her to be caretaking, and for her mother to also feel like she could engage with her daughter's work. You know, the way that that all overlaps, the dovetailing of all of that is so beautiful. And I found Judy to be so inspiring. And that's something we hadn't talked about, really, how inspiring these people are in their conversations and what that offers for everyone else.
I mean, I absolutely stop short of suggesting that there's some kind of silver lining to any of this, but it's certainly true that this experience seems to deepen some artists' work and deepen the themes that they're exploring.
It's certainly affected me in how I think about my practice as well, that for all of the projects that I have tried to do, you know, for the ambitions or whatever I thought they meant, that this project and engaging with artists in this very personal way and working with my team has really made me feel that everything else just came before. And this is really something that actually is doing something in a very different way. So I can't imagine I would return to the same way of doing.
Well, how do you think things will change for you going forward?
I'm much more cognizant of other people and the world around me and how we're all connected. You talked about a silver lining. I'm not entirely sure either that there is one, but I'd like to think that every day I'll feel vigilant in thinking about that, that we all will, the precariousness of other people and what we might be able to do, even if it's a small thing. I suppose in that sense, I'd like to think of work at this time as being restorative in a way, as mending something instead of returning to the old ways that we do things.
May I ask you about one more moment that caught our attention in the series?
Absolutely.
There was one house call with Mandy Cano Villalobos of Grand Rapids. She shows you how during her time in isolation, she's been sewing and dyeing fruit and fabric for this incredible-looking project that reimagines Greek mythology. Let's take a listen from one of the recent interviews.
I'm smelling rotting oranges right now. So I've been working on a series that has to do with mythology and how, like, this idea of embodied text or storytelling in a way that isn't necessarily verbal, and that has to do with, like, matrilineal passing down of histories. And so a lot of that has to do with me looking at, like, Greek mythology and kind of readdressing them in a way that's woman-centered. I've been sewing a lot of oranges using kind of these Greek designs and not necessarily retelling, but rethinking the story of Persephone and Hades and Demeter and these, like, relationships of mother and child and wife and husband and kind of looking at it through this feminist perspective.
Amanda, can you say a little bit about what you saw in that piece?
Yes, this idea of sewing and baking and, you know, all of these tasks or clear activities that are calming, that allow one to work through something. We've seen in these artist visits that artists are turning to that way of working, maybe for solace at this time. And Mandy has been sewing these oranges based upon mythology, and she's really tending to something in the way that she's working. It's quite extraordinary that there's a catharsis and a way to work through anxiety and emotions by just this handwork that we often think of when we think of working at home or domestic arts, that turning inward, you know, being in one's home, many of these artists then have been working in such ways that relate to that whole tradition of domestic crafting or work or baking. I think something else came out of all this, and I hadn't thought of it before because I've so focused on the art world and the world around us, that this also meant a great deal to the university. And when we're thinking about people struggling, there are also all of these bigger systems or university, the institution is needing that connection too. So I think that is something that I hadn't considered, how meaningful it would also be to connect this vibrant, normally vibrant university to the outside world and what that might offer. And it made me, you know, really emotional to realize that this had an impact in that way.
Could you say a little bit more about that? You mean the connection that the academic program has with the art world?
No, I think that these conversations made me understand better that what makes a place vibrant are these very human exchanges. So that a place like a university is vibrant because of all the people you run into and all the discussions you have and all the ideas that are shared. So it's really that human interaction, that connection that feeds universities and communities and keeps us all creating and thinking about futures. And I hadn't made that connection really as to what was missing. You know, what was heartbreaking is what's missing. And part of that are these small things. I felt that not only in the conversations with artists, but also realizing sadness in what I've been missing as well, not being at the university.
Amanda Krugliak is arts curator and assistant director of arts programming at University of Michigan's LSA Institute for the Humanities. Amanda, thank you so much for this project and for spending some time talking to us about it.
Thank you so much.